Microphone, I always forget to turn it on. I figure people don't want to hear any louder the things that they have to hear. Well, the little notebook I read this morning about how to preach a sermon said that it helps to start off with some humor. So, did you hear the one about the commander that walked into a bar and ordered everybody around? Well, enough of that. I won't go there anymore. I want to share with you this morning some thoughts about what it means to have a legacy. I want to talk to you this morning, if you looked in your bulletin, you saw the title of my message is Our Legacy, Its Importance and Its Impact. Have you ever thought about your legacy, what legacy we may leave to our families? We're going to look this morning at the life of Joseph for an example. And I think that you will see there's much more to a legacy or that goes into a legacy than we have ever thought. If I were to ask you to think of a famous person, whether it be an actor, a singer, an athlete, or whatever, and ask you about their legacy, what would you say about that person? The tendency we have is to think of the legacy in terms of some great event, something that was done that was special, something that was done that was momentous, something that was done that was memorable. But I propose to you this morning that a legacy involves much, much more than that. I want to start off this morning by sharing a little story with you. When I was pastoring in Massachusetts, there was a couple by the name of Art and Joan Anderson. And Art and Joan were not members of my church. They didn't go to my church, but they were Christians and members of another church. But they stood by and supported me in my ministry there in Granville, and they didn't know me from Adam, but when they did get to know me, they stood by me, and it was very important to me. Yesterday, I had the dubious privilege of attending online the funeral service for my good friend Joan Anderson. She had passed away at the age of 87. But I listened carefully to what her family, she had three sons, what her family had to say about her. And when you listen to that, of course, the tendency is that we're going to say positive things about the deceased at a funeral. We kind of take that for granted. But when you hear the conviction in the voices, each one of her three sons testified that the greatest thing that they could say about their mother was that she loved Jesus Christ. She had done all kinds of things with them. She had taken them on a 8-mile hike through the woods, got lost, and as they found their way out to a road and were trying to figure out how they were going to back home, she stopped the car. And it was a little Volkswagen car, and the woman said, "Well, I'd love to give you a ride." She said, "But I don't have the room." And Joan said, "No, you will give us a ride." And she ended up giving them a ride. Joan was a strong-willed person, to say the least. And as I listened to the testimony that Art, her husband, gave, he related the story. He said, Joan used to go up to the mailbox every day and wait for the mailman to come. And this one August day, it was brutally hot. And when the postman finally drove up to the mailbox, he gathered together her mail and he handed it out the window to her. And he said, boy, Joan, isn't this a brutally hot day? And she said, yeah, it is, but I'll tell you, Dave, if you don't get Jesus in your life, you're going to go to a place that's much hotter than this. But that was Joan. But the story has another side. I didn't know this because I wasn't there. All my experience with the funeral service ended with the end of the service. But afterwards, all those that were in attendance at the church were invited to go downstairs to the fellowship hall for a meal. And so they went downstairs. I didn't know this. I didn't have that experience, but I had a friend who attended the downstairs meal with the family. And he shared this with me later. He said, when we sat down to dinner, we were just starting the meal, he said, and suddenly over on the side, a man stood up from the table and he said, can I have your attention, everyone? And he said, everybody looked over at him and he said, I would like to tell you something. He said, that mailman you heard about upstairs, that was me. And he said, I got to tell you this. Joan was not my favoritest person. He says, as a matter of fact, I did everything I could possibly try to avoid seeing her. I tried rerouting my route so I would go different times past her mailbox, hoping I wouldn't see her. But he said, many times she was there, and I would hear the same thing. You got to have Jesus, Dave. You got to have Jesus in your life. And he said, I'm here to tell you today that I am a Christian. No, he said, Joan did not lead me to the Lord. It was many years later, and someone else did. He said, but my heart was prepared by Joan Anderson. Folks, what is the legacy? What is it that we leave behind for our family and friends? I want to give you a definition, if you don't mind. It's not a definition you could look up online. This is a Dennisism, if you don't mind. But it's this: our legacy is that which we say and or do, by which people will remember us. Those things which we say or do, by which people will remember us. Now, to get started this morning, I want to start looking with you, if you will, at the life of Joseph and just a portion of his life. We're going to look at two things. First of all, we want to look at what a legacy is and what it was for Joseph, and then the impact of that legacy. But I said we're only going to look at a portion of his life. So if you will, turn your scriptures with me, please, to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 9. And I'll be reading from the NIV this morning. Genesis chapter 50. Now, as we start in verse 1, we need to understand that Israel, Joseph's father, had just died. And then we begin verse 1. And Joseph threw himself on his father and wept over him and kissed him. Then Joseph directed the physicians in his service to embalm his father Israel. So the physicians embalmed him, taking a full 40 days, for that was the time required for embalming. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. When the days of mourning had passed, Joseph said to Pharaoh's court, "If I have found favor in your eyes, speak to Pharaoh for me. Tell him, my father made me swear an oath and said, I am about to die. Bury me in the tomb I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. Now, Joseph said, let me go up and bury my father. Then I will return." Pharaoh said, "Go up and bury your father as he made you swear to do." So Joseph went up to bury his father. All Pharaoh's officials accompanied him, the dignitaries of his court, and all the dignitaries of Egypt, beside all the members of Joseph's household and his brothers and those belonging to his father's household. Only their children and their flocks and herds were left in Goshen. Chariots and horsemen also went up with him. It was a very large company. Now, would you just look with me, please, very quickly at verse 14. After burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt together with his brothers and all the others who had gone with him to bury his father. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Our Father and our God, help us, Lord, as we take the life of Joseph as an example of what it means to have a legacy and what the impact of that legacy can mean. Father, have your way in this service. You be lifted up and glorified. May my words be your words. Father, just have your way in this service and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were to ask you this morning what your thoughts were about Joseph, what might you say? Well, some might say, well, I know Joseph had a coat of many colors. Or you might say, well, I know Joseph was responsible for relieving the famine of his world at the time by having established these great grain elevators back then. And all this is true. But I want us to think about this fact. Joseph's legacy did not begin when he entered the land of Egypt. Joseph's legacy began way back when. I say this to you because I want you, in thinking about the life of Joseph, what we know about Joseph. First of all, Joseph, when we first get him introduced to us, he's having dreams. And he's dreaming these dreams, and these dreams show some sort of superiority over his brothers. And they resented him for it. And there's an understanding behind that. I mean, Joseph was human, so it doesn't escape my thought for a minute that, you know, Joseph could have sort of lorded those dreams over his brothers. Well, someday you're going to bow down to me. I wouldn't like to hear that. And they did resent him for it. But Joseph was telling the truth. He was relating dreams to his brothers, and he may not have done the best job of passing that idea on, but nevertheless, it was the truth. And what I want us to see is that Joseph was building a legacy even way back then, Joseph established himself as someone who told the truth. And then as we look at what happened to him later, and he comes into the land of Egypt as a slave, and he enters into Potiphar's house. Potiphar uses him as a slave until he himself discovers that whenever he has a dealing with Joseph, Joseph tells the truth. And not only that, but whatever task he gives Joseph to do, Joseph does. And whatever he does, like, let me give you this example. When he stood before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, I had this dream, and I need the interpretation of it. What was Joseph's response? Remember, he had already helped the baker and the chief butler in the prison when they had their dreams, and he had interpreted their dreams for them through God. And now he's standing before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, I had this dream, and I want to know the interpretation of it. Joseph could have said, all right, Pharaoh, here's the deal. Here's what your dream means. But what actually was Joseph's response? Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, I am just a man, but the God I serve will give Pharaoh the interpretation of the dream. He may use it through me, he may come through me, but that's going to come from God. So Joseph established himself even before Pharaoh as someone who told the truth. But it went beyond that. Because when Pharaoh realized that Joseph was a man connected with God who could interpret dreams and all this, first of all, he commended Joseph, raised Joseph, well, not subsequently, but raised Joseph to the position of number two in power under himself over all of Egypt. But he said to Joseph, all right, if you say there's going to be 7 years of famine, I mean, 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine, what should we do? And Joseph, in his response, and I like to think that he also gave God the credit for his response, said, well, we need to take the grain that's produced in the 7 years of plenty and store it up so that when the 7 years of famine come, the people will have bread. And he did that, and not only did it save the people of Egypt, but the people of Canaan and the surrounding countries as well, because they all came to Egypt to get grain. Now, what's the significance of what I'm saying here? All that Joseph was doing in his life, he established himself as not only a credible person, but a truthful person. And when he established the grain elevators and everything, he proved himself that not only would he say that he would do something, he actually did it. So he became a man of his word. That whatever Joseph said he would do, he did. Now, I want to dig into this with you and say, what does that mean? What did it mean for Joseph and his life there in Egypt? Well, Let's go back to the scripture a minute. Notice, please, what is happening here. Joseph has been elevated to a position of authority in Egypt, and he's known as a truthful and honorable man. Look what happens, first of all. When Israel dies, look at verse 2. It says, then Joseph directed the physicians in his service to embalm his father Israel. So the physicians embalmed him. Now, please understand what's taking place here. Israel was a Hebrew. Joseph was a Hebrew. And it was not the Egyptian standard of practice, if you will, to embalm a Hebrew. But they did it. Joseph commanded them. He had the authority. But they did it because they were honoring Israel, because they honored Joseph. Joseph was known as an honorable man. He was a man of his word. So they were going to do what Joseph had asked them to do. But it doesn't stop there. Look with me further. When the days of mourning had passed, Joseph said to Pharaoh's court, if I have found favor in your eyes, speak to Pharaoh for me. Tell him, my father made me swear an oath and said, I am about to die. Bury me in the tomb I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. Now let me go up and bury my father, and then I will return. And Pharaoh said, go up and bury your father as he made you swear to do. Here the Pharaoh of Egypt, the ruler of all Egypt, is going to let Joseph fulfill a promise he made to his father. That's how respected Joseph was. That Pharaoh said, go, if you made this promise, you go. Because I know you're a man that upholds your promises. And not only that, Joseph said, and when I am through, I will return. We saw it in verse 14. When Joseph was finished burying his father, he and the company returned to Egypt. But I want you to see the full impact of this. Look at what happens when they go to bury his father. Verse 7, so Joseph went up to bury his father. And what? What does that verse say? All Pharaoh's officials accompanied him. The whole court of Israel went up. The whole court of Egypt went up to bury Israel in Canaan. Why? Only because of Joseph. Because Joseph was an honorable man. Because they respected Joseph. Because he was a man of truth. He was a man of his word. Now, what am I talking about, folks? I'm talking about Joseph's legacy. His legacy wasn't just his colorful coat. His legacy wasn't just the grain elevators he established. Joseph's legacy was that he was a man of truth, a man of honor, a man whose word could be depended upon. And why is this important for us today? I want to relate to you a second little story, if you don't mind, if you'll bear with me. I knew a man in the Navy. He was a Navy chief. A very talented man in electronics. He one time repaired a piece of equipment that had broken down. We did not have spare parts, but he made the spare parts from electronic scraps we had on board. And he made that equipment to work again. If you told the chief that you'd like a radio, he could build you a radio within 2 hours, or he could build you a stereo. He was just magnificent at what he did. But he also had another legacy. Every Friday night, he would go out and get rip-roaring drunk. And then he'd come home, and he'd beat the mess out of his wife. Now, you have to know something a little more about this. Chief was 6'2", the tallest you could be and still be in submarine service. His wife, he had met and married when the ship was stationed in Spain. And she was a little itty-bitty thing of 4'10". And so every Friday night, he'd go out and get drunk with the fellas, and then he'd come home, and he'd beat the living daylights out of her. And she was so hurt and so discouraged. And one day she was in conference, she was out with some of the other shipmates' wives, and she was telling them her tale of woe. And they said, well, you can't keep going on like this. You've got to find some way to stop it. And so one night, Chief came home Friday, and he beat the tar out of her and then went into the bedroom, collapsed on the bed. And she presently went in, threw a sheet over him, and commenced to sew that sheet to the bed. And when she had done it, she got out an iron skillet, and she commenced to knot him up one side and down the other. He never beat her again. Came close to losing his life. What I'm trying to say here in this little story is that our legacy also depends on who it affects and how it affects. Yeah, if you ask me about Chief's legacy, I'll tell you he's one of the greatest men when it comes to being able to do things with electronics. But to his wife, he's got a different legacy. What kind of legacy, folks? Let me ask you something, think about something seriously this morning. If somebody were to ask our neighbors, our friends, our children, what kind of legacy would they relate about us? There was a politician once who was known as getting very many good pieces of business through the legislation in Congress, but he had a very poor reputation with the children he ignored, with the children that he hurt. See, our legacy is important, but also its impact is important. As we can see in the life of Joseph, Joseph got things done, and he was able to move things on his behalf in Egypt because he had a legacy of being an honorable man, a truthful man. Now let's bring this whole thing on home. As Christians, naming the name of Jesus Christ, what kind of legacy are we establishing in the world around us? Ask yourself, am I a truthful person? Now, what's important about that? A truthful person will be listened to. Mind you, the people that hear you may not agree with everything that you say, but the fact that you're truthful means you stand a very good chance of them listening at least to what you have to say. Are you a dependable person? Am I a dependable person? If I borrow a tool from my neighbor or some other instrument from my neighbor and I say I will return it, am I dependable enough? Am I a man of my word that I'll return it? Because ultimately, folks, when I want to tell my friends, my neighbors, and the world around me about Jesus Christ, if I am truthful, if I am dependable, I have earned for myself a place of listening. But if I'm not, why would I expect that anyone would hear? Most of all, I want to tell you this. I know I'm getting older, and my days are coming to a close, as will be with all of us, but we never know when that time may come. But I'll tell you this. I do not want to leave this world unless I can meet my Savior face to face and say, here it is, Lord, and I've done it all for you. I've taken that which you have given me to do in my life, and now I give it all back to you. The reward that we seek, isn't it, to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or would it be something like, listen, Dennis, I gave you many, many opportunities to serve me, to speak my name to others, to bring others to the point of where I can reach down and save them. But you've done none of that. I often wonder, have I lived a life in front of my family to where on the day that I'm laying in the casket, my son could stand up and say, well, my dad did a lot of things and some things I didn't agree with, but I can say this about my dad. He loved Jesus. That's what I want to hear. That's what would mean a lot to me. And even more, if he were to say, because of my dad, I am a Christian today. What's your legacy? What's my legacy? Are we serious-minded enough to think about the things that we do and say and how important they are and what it establishes about us in the minds of other people? It's not unusual for me to say things carelessly that later I'll say to myself, man, I should have never said that. What is it that you and I want people to remember about us? Now, I look at life of Joseph, I tell you, I'm in sheer envy. Because I look at Joseph and I see from the beginning of his life to the last, he was a man of truth and a man of his word, and he honored God. May God have mercy on me and remind me every day that I am alive of the things I say and how important they are and the things I do. Such is the legacy of my friend Joan. As sometimes as crude and straightforward as she was, I can say she loved her Lord Jesus Christ and she honored him. with their life. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, you give us but one life to live, Lord. And the question is this morning, am I living that life for you? Am I living that life to honor you? Am I making memorable things about myself that are helpful to other people or hurtful? Am I treating my family, my children, my wife, in a way that they will have great memories and great testimonies about me, not for my sake, Lord, but for yours, to say that I know he loved God because. Have your way in my life, Lord. Show me all the foolishness that I need to do away with in my life. Live a life that will truly honor and please you, so that on that day of reckoning, I can give you the sacrifice and say, it was all for you, Lord. It was all for you. Bless us this morning. Keep everyone safe here, and Lord, protect the people of the Ukraine. We ask these things in your blessed name. Amen. Thank you.
All right, everyone, stand and let's sing together.